Welcome back to You Enjoy Life. I hope you guys are doing extremely well today. I am back from Denver, from Spain, and my voice is feeling a little bit raw because just like it's winter right now, and Denver in general is very dry. I've also been singing a lot and playing a lot of music, so if I sound a little bit different, it's just because my voice is raw, but it's okay. I'm excited to share all the magic with you guys today. And today, this episode is actually inspired by someone who recently wrote in. So as you know, I've been opening up my email for people to write in. I've been getting the most amazing responses. People just asking questions and looking for insight into their lives and things they're going through. And listen, I am not coming from the state of expert, you know. I'm just here to share the things that I've learned to maybe open your mind up to new possibilities. And that is what life is all about. I'm not trying to create a podcast as though I'm this, like, expert who knows everything and has all the answers and 10 ways to this and that. Like, I'm not someone who is here to try to market myself and sell my brand. I'm just here to help you feel more inspired in your life. So with that being said, I want to first start off by reading the email. It's not a super long email, but I think it was a really powerful, honest email. And this, just to give you a little bit of a background, I've actually been talking to my wife a lot about luck. People say, like, oh, we're so lucky, we're so fortunate. And it's easy to think of luck as like a good or a bad thing. Like, you're a lucky person, you're not lucky, but you have bad luck, you have good luck. Maybe like you just consider yourself like a person who has bad luck, or maybe in certain things, you feel like you have good luck and not other things. And I kind of have a different perspective on what luck is. And it's been really amazing because it opens me up to these new mindsets when I started realizing what luck is and not going off like the old way. It just changed my whole life. So I kind of want to just give you that little opening, and I'm going to read this email now. And of course, whenever someone sends me an email, I always ask for permission. So if you do send an email, let me know if you're okay with me reading it. I will never share your name or, personal details or anything like that. Okay, so let's see here. Hi, Joshua. Thank you for your podcast. Many episodes have been very helpful to me. I'm writing to you as I kind of feel my question for you might be depression mixed with bad luck. Bottom line is, I had a good career for 30 years and got paid very well, then got laid off, then did menial jobs for 2 years. Now I can't get a job in my prior field because I've been out too long, and I'm stuck with deciding what to do for my next career as I have no motivation or desire to try or do anything. Even my old job doesn't appeal to me. In some ways, I feel my CPAP machine extended my life, and the universe doesn't know what to do with me as I should be dead. Nothing appeals to me, and I'm now flat broke with young children and a wife who is trying to support us, all with a low-paying county job which gives us health benefits. I feel like a slug. I spend a lot of my time laying in bed watching YouTube videos about everything under the sun, but nothing is motivating me to do anything with the rest of my life. Dot dot dot. How can I get out of this rut I'm in? Thanks, Anonymous. So first off, Anonymous, I really appreciate you sharing that. That is a lot, and I just want to say, first off, I'm sorry that you're going through that. I cannot even imagine what that must be like to have kids and to be trying to figure out your life and to feel like you're in this state of just not knowing what to do and, like, kind of not even sure why you're here. I mean, you even mentioned the thing about feeling like, you're not sure why you're here and you felt like your life was extended, but you don't know what to do with yourself. I can only imagine what that's like. So while I have not personally had experience quite similar to yours, I feel like I have a sense enough to be able to guide you and give you some insight to some things that have really helped me when I felt depressed and I felt like I have nothing left to do. So first off, whenever, when we grow up, and I talk about this a lot, we're conditioned to believe certain things. And I think, to me, the number one thing in life is to, first off, create awareness. So when you're aware that something's going on, that opens up the floodgates for you to actually dive into your life. But diving into your life when you've been living this whole life a certain way, it's scary because you don't know what's going to come up. It's like diving into the deep abyss and you don't know what kind of crazy creatures you're going to find. And that's the truth. The more we dig into ourselves, the more we have the opportunity to bring out things that are kind of ugly and scary. And what I find is that anyone I've spoken to who's gone, many, many, many years living a certain job, a certain life, and maybe in the past it appealed to them, but at some point in their life, either they're struggling to get a new job or they just feel like their work isn't really cutting out for them. And the first thing I say is, listen, you, regardless of what you believe about afterlife and rebirth and all these things and death, right now in this very moment, you only have one opportunity to live this exact life that you're living. Just one. you know, with your name, with your looks, with your situation. So first off, you might as well make the best of it. And now that's the easiest thing to say. It's easy to say to someone, just make the best of it. You know, you gotta look on the bright side. But listen, when you're down and you're depressed and things feel dark, there is no bright side. There's the whole, that's how depression works. There is no light at the end of the tunnel because you're depressed. You know, and it doesn't mean you're gonna stay that way forever, but I know when I'm in my darkest moments, it's just like there is no positivity. I can read all the positive books in the world, but some of those things just aren't gonna shake it out of me. And what happens is when we go into those states of depression, feeling like our life is kind of has no meaning, has no purpose, it can be really scary, but it's also very freeing because A, we have the opportunity to create whatever we want, and B, it's a great place to start. So I know there are a lot of people who are in jobs right now and they don't like their job. I did a podcast recently about that. Someone was in a job, it's a good paying job, it's almost kind of in not the opposite scenario, but it's a different scenario. I recently talked about this. Someone was in a good job, a good paying job, but it just wasn't doing it for them. And they were making good money and whatever, and they're trying to find a new job. And there are ways to kind of navigate around that. But when you're in a situation and you feel like you're struggling to find work, you maybe feel kind of like sluggish or maybe even worthless because you know your partner or somebody else or a parent, whoever is like providing for you, and you feel like it's your duty to provide for your family, you know, and we have all these stories around what we should do, and it's like maybe I've got some bad luck and depression. And so this is where I want to talk about luck. So I am going to say something that might be a little controversial, but I do not believe in luck. I do not believe in luck. It is a made-up concept that serves me no purpose in my life. Zero. And it's the same thing as statistics. So I'm going to talk about statistics and luck a little bit, and they're very different things, but they have a similarity to me. So I remember being in college, and I was in this statistics class, and I just remember being really just like bored. Because I like math, I like science, I like discovering things and figuring out formulas, but statistics to me felt so silly. This idea that, like, you know, they say you flip a coin 100 times, and they've done this experiment, you know, thousands of times. And the average pretty much ends up being around 50-50, maybe slight to one side or the other, heads and tails. Now, that very basis kind of is the foundation of like how statistics works in a lot, in some ways, in a very basic way. That with a coin, there's two options, two sides, things are random. You flip the coin, boom, I get heads or tails, and it's probably gonna be at 50-50 because it's totally random. So then you look deeper in statistics and it says, okay, well, you know, this is the buying pattern of our company, whatever target demographic. And because, you know, 70% of our demographic is male, you know, we can make sense and we can make all these decisions and all these things. Now, I get it from a business perspective. I get from a business perspective, statistics makes sense and people like to study past habits to understand trends. But that is just it. This is the key to everything. Past habits. You can't study the future. You know, you can only study the past. So when anytime you get data presented to you, let's say you're in a company and someone says, "Hey, we did this whole report on how our buyers work." It's always the past. It's no different than when, you know, new record labels are looking for the next hot thing. They're looking at the past. They're looking at like, okay, Justin Bieber was the biggest, the Beatles, who all these people, we want to find the next this because this is what works and we know we can make money this way. And that's how businesses tend to work. They want to sell a product or a service, so they look to see how people were. You know, they might try to predict the future based on trends. They might look at different trends and say, this is where the market's going, but they're still doing it based on the past. And what do we know about the past? When you're living in the past, everything is past. There's nothing else. So let's take that idea and now let's bring in luck into it. So luck to me, even though it's not statistics, it kind of is in some ways. Let's say you play the lottery, and let's say you're doing one of those lotteries where you can win up to $1,000, and you win the lottery, and you're like, "Oh man, I must have good luck," or, "I'm feeling lucky today, you know, I got good luck." It's like this concept of like, oh, there's this chance that I could win, like the lottery, you know, one out of 100,000 people, you know, would win this. So if I win that means I'm one out of 100,000, which means I must be really lucky because there's other people who did the exact same thing that I did. They did the exact same thing as other people. They didn't have it, so they're not lucky. I'm lucky. I'm the one that won. So what happens with luck, when you believe in luck, is that it keeps you stuck in the past. It keeps you stuck in this place of being powerless. And this is the key. And this is where I really want to dive into this, because I think the most important piece to all of this is understanding where your power in life comes from. So I'm going to take a quick break to mention our sponsor, and we'll be right back. So when it comes to luck, and me saying that I do not believe in luck, you might be wondering, like, how is that even a thing? Or maybe you feel the same way, but you're not really sure why. So I want to shed a little bit more light on what I believe luck is and why I think it is just a complete and total lie made up by someone just to convince people that they're powerless. And I think that this happens a lot in society. There are certain ideas that we have that convince us that we aren't able to achieve the greatness and aren't able to do the things that we want. Just like someone says, well, you got to be practical in your career. Like, yeah, you know, the chances of you becoming, a famous musician or a chef or a basketball player or whatever are very slim. You got to be practical. You got a little practical job. It's like it's built into our language to be negative, to be pessimistic, to be, to live in fear. I think back to one of my favorite books of all time, 1984. It's one of the scariest books ever. And it's not horror. It's just like a psychological thriller that just messes with your mind. And it paints such a dark version of reality. And I'm not someone that likes to just like wallow in the dark, but it was one of the first books that I ever truly read. And it just like blew my mind. If you haven't read it before, it's basically this, authoritarian, I'm losing the word. It's basically this kind of future painted society where everyone is living in this authoritative society, and like they're completely controlled by what would be present day government, and everyone has their job and no one can speak out against the government. If they do, they like disappear, no one knows what happened to them, and everyone's alone and no one can be honest, and they're always watched and being monitored, and there's screens everywhere, and it's like this very sort of scary, like kind of weird space. And throughout the book, without giving too much away, the character starts to kind of become self-aware and tries to kind of break free of all that. And a lot of it talks about conditioning. And one of the biggest things in the book that they're trying to create, like the government is trying to create a new language that literally makes it impossible for people to rebel, so long as rebellion is within your mind. So it doesn't make it impossible to rebel, but the terms for and the language for like rebellion, the language to like think outside of yourself to like, overthrow something is literally wiped out. So when you're speaking, you only know enough language to like have basic communication. And when I started thinking about that, I was like, wow, here's this book that George Orwell wrote, and he actually wrote it in 1948. It was released in 1949. And he was believing, kind of imagining what it might look like in the future in 1984. And of course, we are way past 1984. I was born a year after 1984 in 1985. But yet he was kind of visualizing the society, but at the same time commentating on the current society. And even though he was doing this kind of grandiose version of it and like grossly exaggerated, there was a lot of truth to what he was talking about. And again, I'm not someone who blames anyone for the way things are. I don't think there's any one person that just like pulls all the strings in the world and makes it so. However, I do think that there are things built into our consciousness, built into our like DNA and our life force that make us stay in certain situations. So when it comes to luck, if you believe in luck, you become powerless. And the reason is because you're assuming that you're not in control of your reality. You're assuming that you have this thing that's luck. It's this tangible thing. Even if it's elusive, it's still somehow tangible. You have this thing called luck, and you have a certain amount of it, almost like karma, you have a certain amount of it, a goodness or a badness or whatever, and that's going to decide if things come your way. You look at other people and they seem to be lucky and they seem to get all the jobs and this and that. But what you're doing is you're giving away your power. You're basically telling the universe, I don't have any power. I don't have any ability to like change my life. I don't have any ability to do the things that I want to do in the world. So I'm just going to like just kind of live in this and wallow in this misery of like, depression or not bad luck. And I know what this is like because I've been there. I know what it's like to be super depressed and feeling like things are just one thing after another is going wrong, 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 wrong. But what shifted for me was when I actually started getting away and breaking myself of these ideas of having luck and just start living in a world of possibility. And I started to uncover that the world wasn't so solid. It wasn't as like solid and specific as we seem. When we see a person in our life, every time, let's say you have a family member who really triggers you and upsets you. Every time you see that person, regardless of who they really are, Because you're so conditioned to believe that mom is annoying and frustrating and nags me, or dad is abusive and all these things, like because you're conditioned to see that, that's what's going to keep playing out. And it's not to say that you shouldn't hold people responsible for their actions. You can condone, you don't have to agree with or accept when someone doesn't treat you well. That's a whole different conversation. But you have to accept that your reality is playing, it's almost like playing a movie. And every time you wake up, if you see depressive you in the mirror, or if you see annoying, frustrating mom whenever, for Thanksgiving or whatever, that's what's going to keep playing over and over again. Because you're giving up your power to actually make the change. That person's not going to change. Only you can make the change in your life. And the way you can do that is to realize that the world is filled with infinite possibilities. And the movie that you're seeing, it's like I used to have a friend, well, I still have a friend, but we used to talk all the time. He would always ask me, he'd say, like, how's your movie going? And it's like, how's your life movie? And we would talk about it as if our life was a movie. Like, oh, it's really, I'm in a drama. I'm in a telenovela right now. I'm in this like really intense drama and it's scary and horrific. I don't know what's going. Or like, yeah, I'm in the kind of a romantic comedy right now and things are light and playful, or, whatever it is. I'm in a war movie and I'm fighting for my life. Whatever the thing was, we would kind of like paint these sort of imagined views of our life based on reality. Because our eyes, and our senses, they take in everything outside of us. And when you start to see your life as though you're watching a movie, you start to realize maybe you can change the channel. If you know Plato's cave allegory, without getting too deep into it, it's basically this concept that, there's a man. Well, I'm actually going to update it a little bit. So one of my favorite books in the entire world, and if you want to read it, it might blow your mind. It's by this guy Jed McKenna, and it's called Spiritual Enlightenment: The Damnedest Thing. And it was the first book that like really. Not the first book, but like it was a book that had probably the most impact on me ever. And first off, Jed McKenna is a ghostwriter, so no one knows who this guy is. And he's talking about spirituality, enlightenment, and all these things, and truth and fear, but no one knows who he is. So I just found that really fascinating. And he kind of updates the Plato's algorithm allegory. And basically, he's like, imagine that you're sitting in a movie theater, right? And you're watching a movie in front of you. But all you know, your whole life has just been this movie. You're sitting there and you're watching it. And you don't know you're in this movie theater. You're just watching this movie in front of you. That's all you see. So whatever you see, what you take in, that is your reality. But then one day, suddenly, you get an itch. And something makes you really uncomfortable. You don't know why. And you look down. And you look down and you realize that you're actually a human chained to the seat in this movie. And you're watching this movie. It's not really real, but you're watching this movie. And you're taking it in, you're assuming it's real, but you realize, wow, you're actually a human with a body. And you're chained to this seat and you're stuck watching this movie. It's not really real, but you're stuck in it. And then you start looking around and you start seeing all these other people. And they're all watching a movie too. They're watching the same movie. And they're all chained into their seats as well. And you now realize this isn't real. And you see them all doing the same thing. So then you take it a step further and you're like, wait a minute, I'm actually not chained. It looks like I'm chained. The chains are on me, but they're actually not locked. They're unlocked. So you get up. And now you look around and you see all these people just gazing and staring directly into this big screen. And they're just there and they're stuck and their eyes are wide open as though there's nothing else but this movie. So you start pushing people and shaking them and saying, hey, wake up. This isn't real. There's something else out there. This isn't the real life. But they're so in it. They can't see. That's all they see is the movie. And then, so you say, okay, well, I can't wake people up. I can't shake them up. So I got to get out of here. And then you start looking for, the exit signs. And you see an exit sign. And you start walking towards the door to get out. So the whole point of this concept that I'm talking about is that life, and I didn't even really expect to go here for this podcast. It could have gone many directions, but I do think this is so important. So life as we know it's like the Matrix. It's like a hologram. It's like this idea that whatever we see is real and is truth. Whatever we see in front of ourselves is the true, real reality. But what I've come to discover is that life is actually very fluid. And I've talked a bit about quantum physics and holographic universe and Buddhism and all these things and how they all kind of connect and play into it. But it's easy when our life is going a certain way to look at it and assume that's the way it's going to go. I'm stuck in this rut. It's like the person who wrote in, like kind of sitting around watching YouTubes, feeling kind of like helpless, and just I got nothing to give, and I want to help, but I can't do anything. It's easy to look at your life and assume that that's solid, that's fluid, that's how it is. But you're only living into one possibility. And by shifting your mindset, by shifting what is possible, your life will start to naturally change because your life is always giving you things. Constantly, I've found, I used to just see the world as I thought it was. I used to see the world as this place. I was part of it. I was one little speck of dust on it, walking around, trying to make my mark, trying to, feed myself, trying to survive and make friends and all these things. And then I started to realize that that was actually completely wrong. And because I was living my life in that basic regard and in the way that most people live, I was actually making myself powerless. I was losing out on what life really was. I started to realize that the universe and life and God and whatever you want to call it, it's all co-actively working with you. So when you are stuck in this rut, every once in a while, the universe is going to poke and prod you and say, hey, like there's something else. But you have a choice to answer that call. Just like when you wrote in this email, something inside of you made you think, you know what? I'm feeling really down and depressed and not knowing what to do, but I want to reach out because maybe there's something else. And that's why I'm having this conversation with you right now. And you, when I say you, I mean everyone. But you felt like you needed to reach out to have a conversation because there was something else. And this is where I come into play. I'm just a vessel to help expand and share the things that I have experienced. I'm not doing this for any other reason than I feel called to just help and share and give these insights wherever I can. Because it happened to me. And that's the thing, when you're in the theater, what I've learned, when you're in the theater and you're strapped down and then you realize you break free and those chains aren't real, now all you want to do is just tell everybody about this new life. Hey, there's this world of possibility that I don't have to see this one movie playing. I can actually change the movie. I can create whatever movie I want. What I realize is I can't force people out of their own zombie-like state of seeing the world a certain way, but I can attract in those that are also interested in that state. So I spent a couple years like kind of trying to shake people out of their reality, and I realized I was wasting so much energy. So what I started doing was just connecting with myself, doing the things that felt right, going to experiences and being around like certain types of energy. And naturally, I was meeting people that were interested in this stuff that I could talk to about it, and it would be a co-creation because you can't force someone to believe something that doesn't want to. But when you just live a lifestyle, people start coming to you and saying, hey. It's kind of like in the Seinfeld skit. He's like, how do you, when you're at the market, how do you know what to eat? He's like, there's all these different diets and stuff. And he's like, I'm just walking around saying, hey, you look pretty good. What are you eating? It's kind of like people walk up to me, they're like, hey, you've got a good life. Like, what the heck are you doing? So what I started discovering and kind of seeing, and I'm not the first to discover this by any means, but what I started realizing about the world is that your mind, your thoughts, they're just a small piece of everything. You're constantly taking in information and constantly taking in all this stuff, and your emotions are being triggered all the time, and you're getting stuck in these states because of conditioning. But the universe wants to help you. The universe is here to help you become whoever you want to be. And if you're in a situation right now that feels down and out and the worst possible, it might not seem like that, but that's actually an amazing opportunity to create the life that you want. To start from scratch and say, this is me, this is what I want to do. Maybe you're not sure what you're passionate about, but I guarantee there's something in there. I guarantee there's something inside of you that's saying, man, it would be so cool to do this or that. And let's just say, and I always go relate everything back to music, but let's say you've always dreamed of being a rock star, right? You're just like, that would be the coolest thing ever. I know. Probably 90% of people at some point in their life would be like, I'd love to be a rock star or a movie star or whatever. But most people they have the fear thought, and it's like, I can never do that. It's like, oh, I don't have the kind of luck, I don't have the kind of talent. All these things they believe they don't have based on what they were told was and wasn't possible. But that is where you give up your power. So let's just say you always wanted to be a rock star. Maybe you're sitting in bed watching YouTube videos, like, I can never do that, that's so cool. Well, here's the thing. What's telling you can't do that, like I said, is all the past conditioning, but also what's telling you that you cannot do that right now is your belief that you're in a certain state where you could never achieve those dreams. So here's the thing, I always thought that I wanted to be a famous musician. When I was younger, when I got into the band, that was my life. But as life started to shift, I realized that wasn't actually a real dream of mine. I didn't want to go on tour and sex, drugs, rock and roll. I just loved music, and I didn't have to be famous and making tons of money to express music and share that with people. That's why I do what I do today, because music is one vehicle, just like food for me is another vehicle to share that love, to share that expression. Now, I was also, when I was a kid, I never had a dream of being a celebrity chef or a chef with a cooking show or whatever. But when it started to happen, I realized something very profound. It's like, wow, okay, the reason I never wanted to do that career, to go into that thing, was because what I saw on TV, I didn't resonate with. A, yes, I could have said, like, oh, well, I'll never be that good. But also, I just didn't find it that interesting. But then when the universe kind of came to me and was like, hey, you actually have something really special going on here. The world needs it. You need to follow this path. It became so clear. It was crystal clear, so much so that I left my band of 10 years. A band that, yeah, there was definitely some creative struggles and stuff, but a band that I love very dearly, and we did so much, and we were starting to experience some good success. But I left the band and went on this food journey that I could have never imagined in my entire life. And to back it up even further, before I got into the band, I had no desire to be a musician. I never thought that was possible. I never thought that that was even a thing, so much so that I didn't even allow myself to dream that dream. But then one day I'm at school and I meet a guy who's an amazing musician and he plays me a song, and all of a sudden my life changes and I'm like, we're starting a band. Something awoke within me. Before that, I had no passion. Yeah, I love playing guitar, but I thought I sucked at it. I couldn't sing, I couldn't write songs. I had no real thoughts of my own. I didn't know anything, like any passion in life. There was nothing. There was literally nothing. I grew up taking a ton of Adderall as a kid and prescribed and just going through life kind of as a robot and, having fun with my friends, but just being silly and watching sports and comedy and whatever. There was no real drive, no passion. But as I started to follow, like it's like uncovering a thread. As I started to one by one follow those little nudges that the universe was giving me, my life expanded more and more and more to this point where it's like nothing is impossible. And it's been absolutely amazing. Even just like feeling it now, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is my life. Sometimes, like when I'm in it, because I'm always trying to grow, I'm always in the state of growth and more and more and more, it can be hard to like just pause and just look back to like, had I told myself when I was, 15 that this is going to be my life, my mind would have been blown. Actually, I was watching. Coldplay just put out a really great documentary about their whole on Amazon Prime. You can watch it if you're a Prime member, called A Head Full of Dreams. And it's all about their newest album and their whole story. And that was something that they said. And granted, the amount of success they have achieved is like way beyond anything that I've experienced. But he was like, he's like, if you go back to your like 18-year-old self and tell him that, this is, your experience or whatever, like your mind would be blown. And actually, interestingly enough, I think that was actually in a Marc Maron podcast as well, unless I'm confusing them, but he was interviewing the president 3 years ago, and I was listening to it last night, and same thing. So my point is, like, whatever age you're at, like, whatever you think, just try, take, just do some writing, just like find a way to step outside of that small-minded self. And I don't mean to like diss you in any way, but I get it. It's easy to like stay in this little state and think that's reality, But see what else is possible. If there's something deep down within that you would love to do, like we'll go back to the rock star thing. Maybe it's music. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe you're not 25 years old and gonna go on the road and you have kids and all these things. But if you love music, you could learn guitar, And you're like, well, I can't make money. It's like, but you never know. You could start a podcast or you could start a YouTube channel as, hey, I'm this 50-year-old guy. I was in this job and the job, I got laid off or I quit or whatever it was, and now I can't get a job and I'm trying to refigure out life. And you know what? Screw it. I'm going to pursue something I've always wanted to pursue, and I'm going to take you along on my journey. Now, that is the kind of stuff that happens all the time that people don't realize is possible. So I want you to just take that in. Whatever situation you're in, anything in this life is possible. I am not someone who is lucky. It's easy. I used to get this all the time. People are like, oh, right place, right time. Yeah, you were living, it's, here, I'll give you an example. You were living in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg, doing the hipster thing, even if I didn't consider myself a hipster. You were in a band, you like to cook, and someone happened to see it. And what's crazy, there's so many pieces, but when I think about the food thing, the way that we kind of got picked up, just to give you a tiny little glimpse of it, Mike and I and a couple friends of ours actually were making food videos. But they were like food, music, lifestyle, no instruction, just like fun, kind of chilling out in Brooklyn doing our thing. And we put out videos for 6 months to a year on Vimeo. And they were just fun. There was no, like, maybe we got 500, 600 views, 1,000 on one of them, mostly our parents rewatching it. And one day my brother posted it on his Facebook, and someone who he had gone to college with saw it and was like, "Well, wow, we're actually looking for that right now. We're starting this new channel on YouTube, and they're paying, starting to pay creators." This is 6 years ago. They were like, "Let's start paying creators and see what happens." At the time, that wasn't a thing. They were like, "Let's put some production behind it." And before we knew it, we were signing a contract and making more money than we have ever made. Now, I will say the amount of money we made was so small, but to us, like always living on the edge, we were like, "Wow, this is cool. We get to shoot for a week and make enough money to survive for, a couple months or whatever it was, on like nothing." So it's easy to say, okay, right place, right time, you guys had good luck. But then I keep going back more and more. I'm like, no, it wasn't luck. Even the situation of meeting my bandmate, like the world has been guiding me, and all I've been having to do is answer the door. Because the thing is with luck, you still have to do something. Like even with the lottery, you could win the lottery, but like you still have to play. And it makes me think about there's this funny card I think my mom gave me many years ago, or I saw, and there was this guy, every night he's praying to God. He's like, "God, please, like just please, I want to win the lottery. Help me win the lottery. It would change my whole life. Like, please, God, I'm begging you." Next night, "God, please, I just want to win the lottery. Please." And he goes on this for night after night after night. And finally, one day, God answers his call, and he's like, "Listen." It's like, "You got to help me out. It's like, you at least got to buy a ticket." It's like, if you don't buy a ticket, there's no chance of you experiencing that thing. So luck isn't something that just happens. Like, if you are meant to win the lottery, you're going to win it. It's not this random, this is the way that I see, but it's not a statistical random one in however many chance. It happens because it happens. So I'm going to give you one example that changed my life and it blew me away, but also was so obvious. So I was this is maybe 7 years ago, when I was really just starting to get into this stuff, and when I started like opening my life up to the fact that the universe was presenting me with what I needed, anything was possible. I just had to kind of step into it, and every time I got a little nudge or a little scratch, I had to scratch it, or itch, I had to scratch it. So when I was starting to do this, it was amazing because I never realized that like the world was built this way and designed this way. But the more I started seeing patterns and signs in my life, I started seeing them everywhere and every way that I could imagine. I stopped having to make decisions. It was crazy. And listen, I still make some decisions and I still fall back and I struggle still. But like, I remember the first time I realized I don't have to make big life decisions. Like the answer was there. I just had to look and see the clear signs and knew which way to go. It wasn't like there were no hard choices. It became obvious. So I was, one day about 7 years ago, I had my car and I was driving to band practice. And that night I was gonna drop bandmates off after band practice and then drive to the shore to meet my parents. They have a house down there, they used to, by Atlantic City. We were gonna hang out and there's some friends coming. So I have this car filled with musical gear, packed to the brim. And it was this Toyota Matrix. It was like an old Toyota Matrix and pretty beat up. It was, a used car that I had bought. And I'm going over the bridge with my bandmate from Williamsburg into Manhattan, the Williamsburg Bridge. And halfway through the bridge, my car just dies, just stops, just like doot doot doot. No, like not even a sound. It just turns off, gone. And I'm like, "What the frick is going on?" And my friend's like, "Oh no!" So I was like, "Listen, I gotta figure this out. You're gonna be late for band practice. Throw all the gear in a cab, and like I'll meet you there." So he does that, gets out. I call my, insurance company, AAA, and they're like, "We're sorry, we can't actually tow you. You're not actually anywhere." Like, what are you talking about? I'm not anywhere. He's like, you're kind of in the middle of two places, and we actually can't tow people on bridges. It's not within our jurisdiction because you're not technically in one place or the other. It's like this no man's land." So I was like, "What? That's weird." So I paid to have my car towed. And they said the next morning they could fix it. They could at least assess the problem and go from there. So of course I wasn't going to the shore that night. Go to sleep, miss band practice, go to sleep, wake up that morning, I get a call. "Hey, your car's towed, your car's this, the alternator's broken. We're going to XYZ, get this stuff done." I was like, "Okay." He's like, "It's gonna cost you," it was like $400 with the tow and everything. I was like, "Oh, like, okay. I've got no money, but just just gotta go for it. Like, that was like to me at the time, and even still, but that was a lot of money, and I was living so broke that was just like a, shot to the head. So, all right, whatever. They fixed the car by like noon. I jump in my car, drive to the shore. It takes about 2 hours, so I'm down at the shore and telling everyone the story, and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I feel bad for you." I'm like, "Yeah, it's okay. Everything kind of happens for a reason, whatever." So that night, everyone was going to the casino to go gambling, and I'm not a gambler. I'm someone who, in the past, like, if I'm gonna go to a casino, like, I'll treat it like going to like Disney World, like it's a ride. Like, okay, I've got my, $50. Here's what I've got. I'm gonna play and have fun, and if I walk away winning, cool. If I don't, cool. But I'm not someone who's gonna keep going back to the ATM and like get that. I don't have that gambling addiction like a lot of people do, which is a very unfortunate thing. You see it down there all the time, unfortunately. So, my mom just felt really bad. They were like, "Can we help pay for the car?" And I was like, "No, it just doesn't, like, I appreciate it, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. Like, it's really nice of you guys. I know that, I'm broke, but I just feel like I need to do this myself." So my mom felt really bad, and she's like, "Well, can I at least give you a little bit of money to just like go gamble, because everyone's going out tonight, and I know you don't have any money now, but I want you to feel like a part of it." So I think she gave me like $100, which was like, wow, that's really amazing. And I could have saved it and just said I'm gonna pocket it, whatever. But I just like had this weird feeling of something was gonna happen. So we're going through, and I always liked playing roulette because I don't know, I felt like out of all the things, it was a very easy game. I don't need know any rules. Just put your money down on some numbers and whatever. And typically, if you don't know how roulette works, it's the game with the spinning wheel and the ball. And basically, there's a spinning wheel, and there's red and black numbers, and every number is associated with red or black. And you have this big board, and you can put different amounts of chips, money down on these different numbers. And there's things you can play, like, you can play a two or a five or a seven, or you can play like even and odd. And depending on what you play, certain things, like if you play even and odd, let's say, you put your number down on even, and the ball hits two, well, you double your money. But let's say you put your number down on one of the numbers inside, like you just put your number down on like a six, well, it's like a 1 in 36, whatever. So you get like 36 times your money, but you have a lot less odds, a lot less chance of actually hitting those numbers, because even an odd 50-50 chance, 1 in 36 is a 1 in 36 chance. There's all different things you can do. So anyhow, me being someone at the time who was breaking the mold of reality and thinking, you know what, there aren't odds. I started playing just single numbers, and it's very rare to see people play single numbers. Usually, if they play single numbers, they'll play like a few of them, so they have more odds. So they'll play, okay, I'm gonna play, because it's good at 1 in 36 odds if you hit, but they might play six. They might play, I'm gonna play a six and a 24 and a seven, and I'm gonna pick my lucky numbers, kind of like picking the lotto numbers. But it's rare that people just put all their money down on one number. But, from in my mind, I'm thinking, there are no statistics, either I win or I don't win. So I'm playing through, and I'm losing very quickly and losing all my money. And I had my last, I forget if it was like $15 or something left to play. And I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna play one final number. And I put my chips down, and the guy starts spinning the wheel. And there's a point, like the first half of the wheel spinning, you can still play and you can still move your chips around until he says stop, and then the ball starts going through and hitting the numbers. So he starts spinning the wheel, and all of a sudden this little fly, little like house fly, lands on a different number. I think it was number 23. And I just had this feeling, and I just moved it over to that number. And I turn away and I just wait. And it takes like, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And I hear the guy yell out, 23, winner. And I just had a smile on my face. And everyone around me is like, oh my God, you won. That's freaking crazy. Ah. And I turn around, and he just passes me this giant stack of money. I grab it, I cash out. I end up making back all of the money that I spent on my car, plus enough to give my mom her money back. And I walked away, and I was just like, biggest smile on my face. And it was just like one of those first moments where I realized this is so incredibly powerful, and like this happens all over the place. Now, I'm not saying go out and play the lottery, and I mean, you can if you want, but I'm not saying to do this to manipulate the system, because there are so many forces at work. It's not just like as easy as me saying, oh, think a certain way and then go play the lottery. And I've tried it, and I have not won. So there's so many different forces at work that are designing you and helping your life go in a certain direction. So if you feel depressed, If you feel out of it, that is okay. Listen to this podcast, see how it makes you feel, and think of what is the first thing that you want to do. Look at your life from the perspective of possibility, infinite possibility. Not by living in your head, not by living in this space of like, okay, this is the way that things are. Yeah, you know how your life is. And you can continue to watch that movie and see the same thing and always feel like the this or the that and the guilt and everything. And that's not just going to go away. But you have the option to create whatever you want right now. If you're in between jobs and you're feeling like, you don't know what you want to do and the jobs you work pay you menially, like, okay. See what else is possible. See what else is out there. Because there is something that's out there for you. And this is like the most powerful work that you can do in your life. It is not easy. The easiest thing for you to do is to stay in that state. No matter how dark and depressing and sad it is. And so you talk about you feel like your life has been extended and you don't know why and God doesn't know what to do with you or whatever. It's like, God, universe, there's a plan for you, for everyone. You're not just randomly here. But to me, the whole point of life is to look at who I am, think about the things that I've done, and figure out ways to expand on what is possible. I don't like to stay stuck. I don't like to think about the fact, well, I think about it and I'm grateful for it, but I don't stay stuck in the fact that I was raised thinking I had, this really bad learning disability and I was slow and I wasn't smart and I was, never going to be able to read and write the way other kids did, and I was never going to be good at sports, and I was never going to be able to sing, and I was never going to be able to, really find love because of the way my mom treated me as a kid. Like, I have so much inside to be small for, so much. I mean, I had a mom telling me since I was a kid that she thought that I hated her as a baby because at the time she was so insecure with her own self that she thought that I literally hated her, and this is my mom. We've since talked about it and cleared it up, but like, that was the relationship. I was born into the world, first child, as someone who was, believed that their mom believed that they hated them. I didn't even know what hate was. I was a baby. But I always had this resistance. So the person is supposed to be the most loving, nurturing person. So my life, huge part of my life's work and mission has been opening that up for myself and being able to like accept love and feel good about myself and allow other people in. And so I had a long list of reasons why I shouldn't be. And it's not just me. Like, yeah, you can look at me and say, yeah, well, you're this and you're privileged and whatever. I look at other people that, like, the most inspiring people to me in the world are people like Bruce Lee and Bob Marley, who came from basically nothing and are now the most cherished and beloved people and respected and listened to and inspired from whatever people to ever exist. And they came from nothing. So even if I don't relate in terms of like my background, it's not about that. The people that I study and appreciate and admire the most are the ones that, regardless of their situation and what wasn't possible, they created possibility. So no matter, I don't care how old you are, it doesn't matter. Julia Child, we all think of her. She's like, the first famous chef, like, that really blew up like the whole French food in America and around the world. She was the first like really famous TV personality and still respected as one of the greats. She, I forget the exact age, but she didn't actually like start filming those videos until her 60s. She didn't really get famous until her 60s. And it wasn't until I think her 50s that she actually started developing a passion for cooking. And she was just this woman who was like, "Ooh, Julia Childs," and she was very silly and she did her thing, and all of a sudden it just worked. She had everything going against her, trying to cook French food for Americans at that time when people didn't want to cook. And shoot, like, you read her book, like, the way she had to shoot her original show was insane. But because it was so insane, because all the scenarios and everything were so messed up, everything about her first early shoots was crazy and it should have gone wrong. But because things went wrong, and because she was able to work on the fly, and when the chicken fell, she could pick it up, and oh, the chicken dropped, and people loved that, and people wanted to watch her because she was so unique and different. So I don't care what age you are, what excuses you have. I might only be 33. I've experienced enough to know that anything is possible. Anything. And if you step away from luck and start stepping into what is possible for you to achieve, think of the one thing. Just you go after this podcast, write down what is one thing that you've always wanted to do. Or even just right now. Like, if you're maybe you're someone who, like you said, watching YouTube videos. You could be on YouTube watching YouTube videos. It'd be cool to be a YouTuber. Or, like, I actually have this skill and I kinda wanna teach it. Okay, well, film a video. See what happens. See how it makes you feel. You have the ability to do whatever, you know, to share your story. Because I realize that I can't inspire everyone in the world. There's lots of different people, and there's going to be plenty of people who aren't going to listen to my message. You know, they're not going to believe in it, or whatever. That has nothing to do. I'm not really here to spread a message. I'm just here to be a reflection of you. But everyone has a unique story. So it's like, find what makes you unique. Figure out with inside, okay, who am I? What makes me extremely unique in this world, and how can I share that with other people that are like me? Because I guarantee you're not the only person who is out of work, you know, with a kid trying to provide for his family, depressed and unsure what to do. There are other people out there that you could inspire. And I believe that the best thing we can do in life is to inspire others, you know, to give to others, to help others, because by doing that, we just grow and expand on ourselves and in the world. Because we're all connected, we're all one, there's no separation. You might think that you're separate from me, but you're not. The second you hear my thoughts go into your brain, go into your body, we share a connection. All of a sudden, it's like when someone speaks to you, there's energy being shifted, and you're actually picking something up, and you become part of them. You become connected to them. So remember, you are not alone. You're amazing. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Wow, that just time just flew by. So if you are interested in sharing this, I would love that. Also, if you do want to give me a review on iTunes, like I said, I don't like asking for this stuff, but also, listen, I want people to hear this. Like, I'm feeling better than ever. Even doing this podcast, I'm starting to really feel like the purpose of what this is all about. So if you're sharing this, if you're giving it 5 stars on iTunes and writing a simple review, which takes 2 seconds out of your day, like, that would mean the world to me, because we can share this with more people. And I think the more we're giving to the world, the more it's going to get better. You know, it's a collective you. You know what I'm saying? Hope you guys are well. Have a beautiful day and a happy holiday if I don't speak to you before.